A is quite a exciting parsha. Lots of different things going on. We have a discussion about the Yamim Tovim. We have many other mitzvahs that find themselves also discussed in Parshas Re'eh. One of those important mitzvahs is the mitzvah of tzedakah. So the pasuk tells us in the middle of the parsha, Ki yiyeh b'cha evyon me'achad achecha be'achad she'arecha. When you will have somebody in your community who will be an ani, who will be an evyon, somebody who's destitute, Asher Hashem Elokecha nosin lach. So it says the Torah, when you encounter such a person, one has to be careful. Lo sa'ametz es levavcha. Make sure not to close your heart, not to be unsympathetic to that person. Velo sikbos es yadcha me'achicha ha'evyon. And make sure not to close your hand from helping out that person as well. Now we have a mitzvah saseh, ki pasoach tiftach es yadcha lo. You also have to open up your hand. So we have two lo saseis of lo sa'ametz es levavcha, velo sikbos es yadcha. We have a positive mitzvah saseh of pasoach tiftach, of giving generously. Now here says the Torah, not only are you supposed to give the person tzedakah, not only are you supposed to help them out, but also we have this idea of de machsoro asheyechsalo. So if somebody was a multimillionaire, and then for whatever reason they lose all their money, and now they have plenty to live on, but they just cannot sustain what they are normally used to, we have a separate idea of tzedakah, which is to help them out, to try to feel like the way they used to feel as well. Obviously, on the list of priorities of when we have people who are starving and we have people who are living like millionaires but not the multimillionaires they used to be, obviously we have to figure out how to prioritize. But it's an idea, it's a concept that the Torah teaches us. Nason titen lo, we have an obligation to give them, v'lo yera levavcha besitcha lo, ki biglal hadavar hazeh yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha, because this is why God gave you money. This is why He gave you riches, in order that you should be able to help other people and be there for them when they are struggling. My father likes to point out that the Torah here says, Biglal hadavar hazeh. Some of Farshim say that what it means is, it's a galgal hachozer ba'olam. It's like the world goes around in a circle. Life experiences come back, not in this generation, but sometimes in the next generation. And therefore what the Torah here is teaching us is, that yes, in this generation or at this present time, you might be in a situation where you have lots of money and you're comfortable and you can take care of your family. However, the world is a galgal hachozer, and there might be a time when your descendants, Rachmana Litzlan, will be back in that place that you never dreamed of being, and you're going to expect that others are going to help them the same way you were able to help others in your generation. And that's why the Torah teaches us we have an obligation of tzedakah, because you never know. It will come back around to your family at some point in time as well. So I once heard that the Chafetz Chaim made a comment that it used to be, the Torah said here, Biglal hadavar hazeh, it's a gagal achozer. Maybe in future generations, you're going to need help with your descendants. So the Kli Yakar on Chumash writes, as quoted by the Kli Yakar himself writes it, but the Chafetz Chaim brought it out and made notice of this point. I never would have thought of it on my own. But he says, the Kli Yakar writes, why is that the case? Why is it that families don't remain wealthy forever? Why is it that sometimes grandchildren, great-grandchildren are in a position where their ancestors never would have imagined being? So the Kli Yakar writes, because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be reminded that we have to believe in Him. Sometimes when you have a person who is so self-sufficient, sometimes when you have a person who's living life and able to take care of everything on their own and never having to rely on anybody else for anything, so they also forget to rely on the Ribbono Shel Olam. They think, I'm on my own, I don't need any help. Says the Kli Yakar, that's why we have this idea, Biglal Hadavar Hazeh. The Ribbono Shel Olam needs to set it up in the Bria that there's going to be an automatic reminder. Yes, we were once from a family of big Ashirim, but it's not something that's going to last forever. And we need to remind ourselves to always believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam along the way as well. So the Chafetz Chaim pointed out, yes, maybe in earlier generations it took a few generations for people to forget the Ribbono Shel Olam, but now he says it can happen to a person throughout their own lifetime. Person can start off struggling in business and then he becomes successful, and overnight you forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, said the Chafetz Chaim, now sometimes, unfortunately, we see it in that playing out, even in a person's lifetime on their own. You can start off being one way, you end up being another way. And he says it's because the Ribbono Shel Olam needs to somehow strengthen our emunah and make us feel that at some point we need to rely on Him and we have to come to His assistance and not just always say, Kochi ve'otzim yadi asali esachai lazeh. So that's the comment of the Chafetz Chaim, really based on this week's parsha. So tzedakah is a mitzvah that is a very important one. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos, Amar Ula, Ein Yerushalayim nifde ela b'tzedakah. Yerushalayim will only be redeemed. We will only have the ultimate geula ha'asida that we daven for so many times a day when we make sure to express ourselves in tzedakah in the proper way. Shanemar, as the pasuk says, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh b'shaveha b'tzedakah. The way that it will come back will be if we make sure that we excel in this area of tzedakah. Tana Devei Eliyahu, written by Eliyahu HaNavi, says the same. Gedolah tzedakah, tzedakah is something that is so important that we need to give such a focus to. Shemiyom shenivra ha'olam ad achshav, because from the time that the world was created until today, ha'olam omed al hatzedakah, the world survives on the giving of tzedakah. And this is something that we have so many sources in Mamari Chazal, in the Gemara, in Midrashim that tell us how important tzedakah is. In fact, the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Basra Daf Tes, many different areas of tzedakah are discussed there in the Gemara. And the Gemara there tells us, Gedola ha'osa tzedakah b'seser, somebody who gives tzedakah privately and makes sure not to flaunt their own giving and just gives it for the purpose of the ani without having their own ego involved, the Gemara tells us you are greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. You have more schusim than Moshe Rabbeinu. That's something that the Gemara says is a tremendous honor. It's a tremendous opportunity that we have. So let's talk a little bit about the mitzvah of tzedakah and some halachic complications that might come up when we deal with the mitzvah of tzedakah. So every day in Kriya Shema, we know that we recite two different parshios. We have the parsha of Ve'ahavta, and then we have right after that, it's followed by Ve'haya im Shamoa. Now you'll notice there are some similarities, but there are some differences between those two parshios. So you'll notice when you read parshas Ve'ahavta, the first parsha of Kriya Shema, you'll see that it says there, Ve'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, with all your heart, b'chol nafshecha, with all your soul, b'chol me'odecha, and with all your money. Then we go to Parshas Vehayam Shamoa, the second one, and there all we have is Ula'avda b'chol avavchem u'b'chol nafshechem. So the Mefarshim point out, what happened to b'chol ma'odchem? Don't I have an obligation to love the Ribono Shel Olam with all my money as well? Why don't we have that mentioned here the same way it's mentioned in Parshas Ve'ahavta? So I once saw in the name of the Rishoner that he says, and I think it's an emes of pshat, he says the difference is, the first Parsha of Kriya Shema is talking about Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. What is your relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam? Well, the way to express how close I feel is to tell him, I'm willing to give up my life, my heart, my soul, my money, everything I'm willing to give up for you. That's something that we are expected to be willing to give up in the love of the Ribono Shel Olam. And as we know, many generations have done that. There were those who lost their jobs not to work on Shabbos, not to show that they were betraying the Ribono Shel Olam, even though it meant they had no money, they didn't know what they were going to do. But that's what they were willing to be moser nefesh. That's what it means. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol me'odecha, with all of your money, with all of your heart, with everything you have. However, Parshas V'hayom Shamoa is talking about our relationship with mitzvos. That is what we refer to as Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. And when it comes to our observance of mitzvos, we don't have an obligation to give up all of our money. And there, this is why the Torah does not say that we have an obligation la'avda b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem u'b'chol ma'odchem, because in fact I don't have to give up all of my money to perform a mitzvah. Now what does that mean? What it means is the following. The Gemara says in Maseches Ksubos that ba'usha hiskino, the Chachamim came up with a takana, that one should never give more than a chomesh of his or her money for the purposes of tzedakah. So it's very nice to be magnanimous, it's very nice to be kind to other people and to share your money with others and to give it away to others. However, one should never give more than a fifth, more than that percentage of their money, because shema yitztarech lebrios. Maybe you're going to end up having to need money, and now that you've given it all away, you're not going to have for yourself. So the Gemara says we have some exceptions where we would say a person is supposed to give more than even a fifth, but generally that's the rule. Now, on the other hand, one exception to the rule that we find is, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, when it comes to avodah zarah, when it comes to a person who has the option either to pay off a large sum of money not to be forced to serve Avodah Zarah, or they can just serve the Avodah Zarah and keep all their money. The Gemara there tells us in Sanhedrin that one has an obligation to give up all of their money, kol hon beso, as not to violate the Isser of Avodah Zarah. So here we find, on the one hand, the Gemara says, don't ever give up more than a fifth of your assets for a mitzvah. On the other hand, the Gemara tells us that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, one is supposed to be willing and agreeable to give up everything they have as not to violate the Avera of Ovid Avodah Zarah. So the Rama tries to figure out, how do we draw the compromise between these two sugyas? Which one is it? Am I supposed to limit the amount of money that I spend on mitzvahs or Averas? Or perhaps do we say, I have an obligation to give everything up? So the Rama famously comes to the following conclusion, and it's something which is a tremendous extension from what the Gemara says. It's not really what the Gemara tells us, it's the Chiddush of the Rama, quoting from earlier sources, but it's not exactly what the Gemara says. So the Rama says, here's the bottom line. If we're talking about performing a mitzvah saseh, for example, buying a lulav and esrog, So there were times in Europe where a lulav and eser was a fortune of money, and people didn't have a lot of money. So what am I supposed to do? Says the Ramah. The guiding principle is you only spend up to a fifth of your assets in order to perform a mitzvah. If it's going to cost you more than that, you have no obligation. You are absolved from the performance of that mitzvah. However, says the Ramah, when it comes to violating a lo saaseh, if you have an option to give up all of your money as to save yourself from violating any lo saaseh in the Torah, not just Avodah Zarah, there, says the Ramah, one has the obligation to give up all of their money as not to violate a mitzvah lo saaseh in the Torah. So again, the Ramah draws a distinction. If we're talking about a mitzvah saaseh, one only has to give a fifth of their assets. If we're talking about a lo saaseh, one has to be willing to give up all of their money as not to violate the aveira. That's what the Ramah says. And as we mentioned, that's an extension from what the Gemara itself says. It's not exactly what the Gemara itself tells us. Now, the question is, why should we draw a distinction between a mitzvah saaseh and a lo saaseh? What should be the difference? After all of these were commanded to us by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. The Torah is miksha achas. It all comes from the same source. So why should we draw any kind of distinction between a mitzvah saaseh and a lo saaseh? So the Prima Gadim and the Chasam Sofer in their commentaries on Shulchan Aruch both say, well, the difference will be as follows. It depends whether it's a kunva aseh or whether it's a sheva al taseh. And therefore they write as follows. Says the Prima Gadim, when you talk about a kunva aseh or a sheva al taseh, he says, "Im anso akum laver bebal yirah, bechametz, bepesach, besheva al taseh." What would you say? I have an obligation on Pesach to get rid of all of my chametz. A non-Jew comes over to me and says, you better not destroy your chametz. I want you to keep it in your house and not be mevatel it. I want you to keep everything the way it is. What am I supposed to do? He says, yesh lamar maybe. Dein mechuyev levazveis hon rav. He says, it depends not so much on a mitzvah saseh versus a lo saseh. Rather, he says, it depends on whether I'm doing something active or I'm doing something passive. Normally, violating a lo saaseh means I have to actively be involved. I have to speak lashon hara, I have to do something, I have to eat the non-kosher food, I have to do an activity. However, he says, when you find the unusual case of a lo saaseh that is violated passively, he says maybe the rules will change. And this is what the Chasam Sofer writes as well, that the distinction that the Ramah draws here is not so much between an aseh and a lo saaseh, but rather between a sheva al taseh and a kumva ase, an active versus passive. Because we assume that an active violation is something that is considered far worse than passively. And therefore, he says, when we talk about somebody saving themselves from not having to violate something actively, we expect them to be willing to give up all of their money, kol hon deso. However, when we're referring to something that is only going to be a passive violation, then there's a limit. Then we say that up to a fifth of your assets is all you're obligated to spend. So now we have a problem, because take, for example, we were just talking about the mitzvah of tzedakah. So, we said that the Gemara tells us clearly, you only have an obligation to give up a chomesh nechasav. You only have to give a fifth of your assets for the mitzvah of tzedakah. Why? Because the Gemara says, if you give more than that, maybe you're going to end up being poor yourself. Then you're going to have to go collecting tzedakah on your own. So now the question is very simple. Many achronim pose the following question. How can you tell me that when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, you only have an obligation to give up to a fifth of your assets? After all, don't we know the pasuk in our parsha, as we began, tells us that not only do we have a positive mitzvah, pasoach tiftach, of giving actively to the person who is poor, but we also have a lo saaseh of lo sikbo tzes yadcha v'lo sa'amit tzes levavcha. So if this aveira of not giving tzedakah entails not only violating a mitzvah saaseh, but also violating a mitzvah lo saaseh, why do we not have an obligation to give all of our money for tzedakah? If after all the Ramah says the guiding principle is to save oneself from violating a lo saaseh, one has to give kol hon beso. Just like by Avodah Zarah and everything else, I have to be willing to give up all of my money. So why shouldn't I have to give up all of my money for tzedakah if after all, by not giving tzedakah, I'm going to violate a lo saaseh, not only a mitzvah saaseh? This is a very important question. And the answer is not so clear in the Acharonim at all. The answer that my father has told me on many occasions is that the only time we expect a person to be willing to give up all of their money for a lo saaseh is when you have something which is chad pa'ami, when you have something which is almost an emergency situation. So something like that, we would say, you're faced with an emergency. You're going to eat, they're forcing you to eat treif unless you give up all of your money. So you know what? Give up all of your money not to violate the aveir. However, to tell a person that for the rest of your life you are perpetually obligated to give up all of your money every single day and never be able to have a life, that's not something we ever expect of a person to do. So let's say over here, let's say I give up all of my money to tzedakah today, now I'm left with nothing. Now I somehow build myself up again. I get a new job. I accumulate some money. Now you're going to tell me there are no more aniyim in the world. There's going to be aniyim again. Then I'm going to have to give up all my money next week again. So the more money I make, the more money I'm going to have to give away. I'm never going to be able to live. So in a situation like that, we say, Chayecha kodman l'chayecha v'erchar. I'm not obligated to give up everything I have perpetually forever to save somebody else's life and to make sure that they're able to live life. However, the only time the Ramah says that one has to be willing to give up all of their money only is said in a case where it's some kind of emergency, some kind of unusual circumstance. You have an opportunity either to give up all of your money or to violate this one time, this Aveira. So the answer is, give up all of your money and don't violate the Aveira. But in a normal circumstance, like the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, where the need will never go away, unfortunately we know, Efes ki lo yebecha evyon. The Torah promises us there will always be someone who's going to need our help. There's always going to be someone, the gagal achozer ba'olam, there's always going to be someone who needs to be supported, who needs our tzedakah. So in a situation like that, we don't have an obligation to give up all of our funds, even though we know that by not giving all of our money, we will certainly be violating the mitzvahs lo sasei av, lo sa'amitz, es yadcha, v'lo sikbots, es levavcha. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.